Coming up on TMS, Chris Rock tells a joke, but Will Smith delivers the punchline.
Animated boobs and weens should win.
I keep my vibe award next to my bed.
The hills have eyes of Tammy Faye.
Open hand paper beats rock.
Not a pinball thing, the pinball thing.
I would be honored to get a Genie and Cleo award.
Brenna, Brenna, do, 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 do.
Take out the Weird Al chunk.
Jared Spacuhuchi.
Beware the last vestiges of March.
North of J.K. Simmons.
Famous Amos.
The goofs are happening in a more recent way.
Identical sexy boys with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Okay, one thing, Christopher, I'd like you to not drop down so fast on the descent because it's making your head bounce.
Today's winners will receive a beautiful Joy Junction watch with the letters PGF.
This is The Morning Stream. Is it over yet?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, March 28th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're back from the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State.
That's right. I missed you all Friday. Hope you missed me.
Yeah, we did. What did you... So you went down there for a pinball thing, and give us the...
Just a pinball. I mean, we're talking the biggest pinball event in... I think they were calling it biggest pinball event in the world. So Texas Pinball Festival is this annual event that they hold in Dallas, actually in Frisco, which is just north of Dallas. Really nice area, by the way. Nice suburb of Dallas. And it's they take the Frisco Convention Center and they completely fill it with 90% pinball machines, 10% video games.
Oh, I was going to ask how it was with the gaming side, and it sounds like there is some. I wasn't sure they'd have
any. There's some video games. They had there weren't any Tempests. They did have two Jousts, one of which had a really effed up screen. Like it was, there were. Like the letters on the track on a tracked mode were all garbled and flickering and stuff like that. But I did play the other Joust, and I took a picture. I got in the high score. Listen, I got in the high score of a machine that was sitting on the floor of the Texas Pinball Festival, constantly being played by people.
Wow!
So I got to feel pretty good.
I'm impressed with that. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Do you remember what your score was?
I can pull it up.
You got the picture of the score.
I took a picture. It's on my phone. It was, let's see here.
I'm excited to hear this.
It was only 57,600, but I was on the daily buzzards list.
That's actually not bad. That's really good. That's a high score.
This machine, Steven Radke, who also owns a full-size Joust machine, Chili Dog. He's a regular Nerdtacular attendee, TMS Vegas attendee. He'll be there in Vegas next month.
Nice.
He said that he knows what the dip switch settings are to like rank up the difficulty. You open up the machine, rank up the difficulty, and it like increases the frequency of buzzards or their ability to like go above, or the pterodactyl comes out sooner or whatever.
Ugh.
He says, yeah, it was definitely cranked up to a higher difficulty than the default.
Oh, and you still did 57K. That's really good.
Still did 57K, so.
That's awesome. The dip switch is in there. I wonder if there's one to turn off the pterodactyl forever and forget it exists, because I freaking hate it. Hate that thing.
You don't want to do that, because there's a mode where you can, you basically, like level 11, or whatever, level 11, you work it out so that one of the gray... dudes, the gray buzzards, gets pulled down into the lava by the hand.
Yeah.
As a pterodactyl is coming out. And as long as you do that, you'll just get nothing but a steady stream of pterodactyls that will all go to the level where you just bop, where they run into your lance with their nose and go and die.
Wow. Okay.
And so you can just basically rack up unlimited points by sitting there and just positioning yourself back and forth to get the left side pterodactyls and the right side pterodactyls. And
oh man, that you just named a thing I'd never heard of about that game, and it's my favorite arcade game.
Not either. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like I didn't know that was a thing. It's like finding out about the Tempest. Get to the certain level, end your score with two digits, and you can get 40 credits immediately.
Wow. All right, that sounds great. And they had
every arcade in Arvada.
Did they have all your favorite pinball titles there as well?
They did, yeah. So, so big shout out to the folks who were out there, TMS fans, Rusty and Shelley, who were the ones who brought Tina and I out there for this thing. They are just the nicest people ever. They're also going to be in Vegas, so you'll get a chance to meet them. But they are pinball experts, nerd, like they know this stuff inside and out. But then they're also like partiers and they have a lot of fun. Bobby Ann and Barry were there. We had cigars. I did a little Twitter of me puffing out some smoke out of a cigar.
Nice.
Steven Radke was there. Jay and Angie. So some really good machines. There's a brand new Weird Al Yankovic. It's a modular machine, which means you buy the game, the whole pinball machine, but then it's also modular. You can take out the Weird Al Yankovic chunk in the back and replace it with a different chunk to make a different game. And the ramps in the front of the machine stay the same. And there's a video underneath it that has like, that tells you what your objectives are and things like that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, it's still like a $4,000 or $5,000 game, but this is like their first dip into franchise with this thing. So this is where it might actually take off. So if you want to get a machine, you don't have a lot of space, you could do one of these. And then when you're tired of playing Real Yankovic, you take that module out, set it aside, put this other module in for a little while, play that.
Wow. That's cool.
There was a line. That was the only game that was brand new to this festival. Everything else had been out for maybe 3 months, 6 months, or whatever. But a lot of it was new to me. They have a Mandalorian game that is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
They have a brand new one that's based on Halloween, the movie, the Michael Myers movies. Mm. And here's what's cool about that. So you've got all of your gates and your ball launchers and stuff like that all over the playing field.
Right.
You'll fire the ball into like a drop where it goes in a hole and disappears. And you're thinking, all right, well, I'll wait a few seconds and then it shoots it back. So you're kind of watching that hole to see where it comes out, and boom, the ball comes out of another place that you're not even expecting. And yet you have jump scares because of that, like, as if you were watching.
That's a great idea. What a cool idea.
It's a really clever way to do it. And then they have all these hedges on the side, yeah. And Mike Myers comes out with a machete and then disappears back in. He's like,
that's awesome.
It's a really good game. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
A lot of different challenges and stuff.
Perfect timing for that, too. Let me ask you this one question about Weird Al's machine. Yeah. Did the control feel like a great big, what's that called? He plays? What's that thing?
Oh, an accordion?
Yeah. Was it like an accordion at all?
No, it seems like that would have been a great way to do it. Yeah. No, it's since the thing's modular, you got to kind of make the buttons pretty generic to be able to control different games. But yeah. No, but that thing, that little back section, which is only about a third of the playing field, had like a UHF camera in there. Yeah. It had a Jurassic Park Geriatric Park. What was his thing? No, he did Jurassic Park because it was just a play on the MacArthur Park song with the Jurassic Park.
Right.
There's so many references to Weird Al songs in that thing. It is insane. There's so much stuff.
Oh wow, that's cool. Yeah. That sounds awesome. I'm not a giant pinball guy, but I know enough about some of them that I really get into them. I like pinball video game hybrids a lot, and I feel like those are underrepresented, but they probably are like looked down upon a little bit by the purists of the pinball folks.
They definitely look down on the like the arcade one up, like the machine I have, the Marvel arcade one up machine I have. Although, oh man, this one got me. Like being there this weekend and finding out that there is a very easy flash mod. This is a good thing to talk with Steven about because he has one of these as well.
Yeah.
A very easy flash mod that will allow you to load every arcade one-up game on there, and even another a couple mods where you can have every like Zen pinball, the Zen games that are made for iPads and tablets and stuff,
right?
And I put it hundreds of games on there. So I've got a I've been playing the Marvel one, playing it to pieces, but now I'm excited to say, all right, let's throw Star Wars and Mars Attacks on there and all these other ones.
Yeah,
and,
no, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like those. So, I personally like those, but I'm always afraid to say that in front of like pinball people because I think those are.
Oh, yeah. No, they're definitely looked, those full on video machines are definitely looked down upon among members of the pinball community.
Yeah. You gotta have the mechanics. That's the whole point. Big mechanical.
You gotta have flippers. Yes. And you gotta know, like, oh yeah, you know, well, I took the auto sensors out of those bumpers because, you know, they were only at 4 amp and I wanted them to be a 6 amp to really shoot the ball across to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is definitely a show that is a little bit made for people who love pinball, who just want to go and play a bunch of games, but more made for people who own a lot of games, bring them to these shows to either sell them or show them off. There were a lot of completely custom pinball machines. There was an Elf pin, custom pinball, like a one of a kind. There was a
Elf movie.
Elf movie.
Got it.
There was a Star Trek. This is the coolest one. So there was the original Star Trek pinball machine, 60s.
Yeah, old, the old Kirk business. Looking one with the way old school looking, that machine.
Way old school, and it's, you know, one big flat playing field. No ramps, no fun stuff like that. This guy took one of those. He owned multiples of the Star Trek machine. He took one of those. He flipped all of the stuff on the table, which I don't know how you do with some of the stuff, because it's like, well, here's this set of targets. You can't just like flip them upside down. But he made a mirror universe version of the Star Trek pinball machine, changed the back glass to have like Spock with a beard and the different outfits and stuff.
That's rad.
He replaced the score lights with the Nixie tubes, numbers in Nixie tubes. So it looked all steampunky. Incredible work.
That's great. I wonder if that guy did. I wonder if he documented any of that, put it up somewhere.
Oh, I bet he did. You know what? There's got to be a thing online where he talks about the.
Yeah, we live in that era, right? Everyone makes YouTube stuff these days. I would hope so. Yeah. That'd be really cool to watch.
Captain Kipper found it quickly.
Oh my god!
Yes.
Yeah. He's not. Look, he has the rank of captain for a reason. He finds stuff real fast.
That's right. He is Captain Kipper. Yeah, so there. That's the machine right there. It is seriously one of a kind. That's the only one in existence, and it was on the floor there.
Fully functional, plays fine. No,
plays
janky.
Just fine.
Wow.
Yeah, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. So anyway, and this is a place where dealers like say, oh well, I'm trying to sell this Wizard of Oz machine. Somebody can come and buy it, and it. You know, we played it. Tina and I played this Wizard of Oz machine. I had one of the best pinball games of my life, and there were people behind me waiting to play it. Then I'm like, oh, they're going to be so pissed off because I took such a long time on this machine. That I was walking away, this lady goes, dude, that was a nice game.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the locals,
but,
man.
If you look at the price tag on it, it's a $15,000 Wizard of Oz pinball machine, right? Now I'm thinking, you know, you've got some money to burn. You want one of these games. You come to this pinball festival. You're like, all right, they've got a Wizard of Oz. I'm totally buying. You buy it. Do you leave it on the floor for more people to play after you buy it? Or do you, like, as quickly as you can, get that thing off the floor so that somebody doesn't drop a Starbucks latte down the...
Oh, that actually was the next question I was going to ask. Do they allow people with like food, drink, that sort of thing?
They had drinking in there. Like they had, a lot of people had cup holders and stuff on the sides of their machines, which is the smart way to do it.
That scares me though. If you had like a $20,000 machine in there, you'd just be like paranoid the whole time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm still looking at this Star Trek machine. It's so
I know. Awesome. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
I'd play the hell out of that.
So anyway, it was a great time, and I'm definitely going again next year. Scott, if I have to go there to Salt Lake City, bind and gag you and put you on an airplane, you're coming with me.
All right, cool. I have always wanted to fly bound in a bag. So.
Good. Well, I have a duffel bag ready for you.
Yeah, if you can make that happen, I'd be good. All right, now we're going to talk about this. All right.
I wish that was the sound.
I do too. Sadly, that is not the sound. That's something I got from an old film sack. However, we're not going to talk too much. Okay, listen, if you're not a patron of the show, we just did like 20 minutes.
15 minutes, 20 minutes of talk about the slap heard around the world.
The slap heard around the world. Brian and I, we have a couple things to say, but honestly, we're not going to add too much to this ridiculous conversation that's happening across all forms of media today. If you don't know what we're talking about, the basics is that Chris Rock told a joke. It was about Jada Pinkett Smith, about her hair loss, although he may or may not have known. There's some question about that. Anyway, yeah, it was a very punchy down joke, no matter what, however you say it. Will Smith then did also a bad thing, which was walk up there and slap him really hard in the face. At first, people thought it was part of a joke or something. Turned out later, no, it wasn't. And then Will Smith won the Best Actor Award later, which is just about the weirdest. I mean, this easily...
turn of events.
Yeah, does this just, for you, at least in my mind, this easily just wipes away the, oops, we opened the wrong envelope year?
Like, yeah, I was trying to think of anything like, you know, Marlon Brando not showing up to accept his award, or Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway saying... La La Land when they meant Spotlight.
Right. Right. But it does seem like these are more, the goofs are happening in a more recent way, doesn't it, to me?
Like, it does, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, there were streakers in the old days. I mean, it feels like the problems they had before were a little more quaint than announcing the wrong Best Picture winner and violence on stage.
Yeah, these things feel like a far...
Did I say Spotlight? I did mean Moonlight. Yes.
Oh yeah, he meant Moonlight. I knew what you meant, and I even heard it, but I knew what you meant. So
yeah, even Adele Dazeem, right? Oh, he's cute, Adele Dazeem.
Oh, Adele Dazeem, I'd take that any day over somebody punching somebody. So
yeah.
So
right after that slap, by the way, it's one of the first things they had after that was John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson and Uma Thurman going on stage for the anniversary to celebrate the anniversary of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And they played was it Miserlou they played? I can't remember what the song they played, but Travolta and Thurman are sitting there dancing while Samuel L. Jackson is putting the briefcase, Marcellus Wallace's briefcase, up on a stand. And I look over. So we had to go to our friends' houses. Well, not had to. We went over to our friends' houses.
You willingly did that. You willingly went to your friends'
houses. Willingly did that. Although we were both exhausted. I had Tina had a scratchy throat. I was a little congested. We were both worried that we were in Texas. Mm-hmm. Nobody wears a mask in Texas. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, but I leaned over to Tina and I said, how much do you think we can get, pay Will Smith to go up there and slap John Travolta to get him to stop dancing? Because that was horrible to watch.
Yeah, that's hard to watch. So for the record, I actually saw none of the live broadcast, partly because I don't have a service that does it for me, and I'm not watching, I don't have regular live TV. That was part of it. But part of it is, I feel about these award shows. It kind of annoy me. Yes. But when that happened, I was like, oh, we're having a moment here. I wish I could see this. But don't worry, the internet delivered. I immediately got to see it.
Oh, you can see the entire thing, the entire Oscars ceremony via YouTube in different clips and stuff, like watching Tony Kotzer's acceptance for Best Supporting Actor for Coda is a moment you don't want to miss.
I did see that. That was awesome. That was really
Jessica
cool.
Jessica Chastain's acceptance for Eyes of Tammy Faye is worth seeing.
Don't you think that whole room deserves an Oscar for pretending so well that nothing had just happened after Will Smith smacked him? Because
Amy Schumer came out and said, I'm sorry, I was just getting out of my Spider-Man costume. Did I miss anything? it's like the moment when Pee Wee Herman got up on stage at the MTV Music Awards and said, hey, anybody hear any good jokes lately?
No, I forgot about that because he was that whole porno thing that he was involved in.
The whole porno thing, yeah.
So yeah, give them all awards. The collective acting all combined, and they all ignored the giant elephant that sat in the room with them for the rest of the night. But so here, I thought it briefly, like we do every year. We'll just go over
a little recap of some of the big ones. Yeah,
yeah. Here's your big stuff. You got your Best Supporting Actress, Ariana DeBose. Am I saying her name right?
Ariana DeBose.
DeBose for West Side Story.
From
that's interesting because that's twice. That's twice that a movie called West Side Story. And the person playing that role got the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, which is pretty cool. Yeah. It was originally, what's her name?
Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno. Why,
who was there. And you know, I didn't think about this, but when they first showed Rita Moreno, I said, oh, it's good to see Phyllis Diller still with us. Because she had this like big feather wig going. Like the old Phyllis Diller, like a wig made completely out of feathers. And
wow. That's a good call. It's a good deep cut.
It was a good deep cut.
Then we have all of Dune won everything else sort of. They won everything that was technical.
Dune did the. I'm gonna invoke the for a change. I'm gonna invoke the Mad Max Fury Road. But Dune did what Mad Max Fury Road did the year that it was nominated for Best Picture, is win all of the technical or most of the technical Oscars.
Yeah, which is it. I mean, numbers wise, it cleaned up.
Right.
Maybe not, you know, prestige-wise. Those are always, you know, those are your best picture, your best director, your best whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's almost a mere...
Sound, cinematography, production design, editing, music, visual effects. Like, it nailed the technicals.
Yeah, for sure. And it did... You're right about it mirroring Mad Max, because Mad Max was basically the same deal, including best picture, best director, all of that, nominations. Yeah. But won everything else technical. It's almost the exact same thing. It's almost the same. Except those movies are not the same, and they're both amazing, and people should watch them. I just want to make that clear. Yes. I am not saying those movies are the same, everybody.
Of course, yes.
Let's see what else we got.
A little bummed about. I mean, Belfast won for Best Original Screenplay. I'm glad it did, because Belfast is excellent. But I am kind of bummed that Licorice Pizza didn't win that one, because if there was any category that it had a chance in, it should have won the Best Original Screenplay, because it was so good.
Man, I still need to see that. That one's not streaming yet, is it? Licorice Pizza?
Licorice Pizza is rentable, I think. But
gotcha. All right.
But
I maybe throw $5 at that this weekend or something. I don't know.
You should. And you should see Belfast, because it's fantastic. I mean, it deserved... It also deserved to win, and it deserved to win what it did. I think that was... Didn't it have two... categories it won in, or just one? I guess it just won Best Original Screenplay.
Now, I've not seen... We normally don't focus much on makeup and hairstyling, but I've not seen this Eyes of Tammy Faye thing. but I assume they did really good work. They must have. But aren't they just replicating bad makeup? Because that's what she's famous for.
That's such a tiny aspect of that. And Eyes of Tammy Faye might end up being my recommendal this week if I don't get through this other thing that I'm watching quickly enough. But there's the aspect of, like, all right, Tammy Faye and her whacked out bizarro world makeup thing. And they replicated that perfectly. But they also did an incredible job making Jessica Chastain look age appropriate for the different eras of Tammy Faye Baker, or Tammy Faye, whatever she was before Baker.
Yeah.
Not to mention Andrew Garfield. I guess he was finally... It's good to see that he actually got to be in a movie in 2021. But Andrew Garfield, making him look like Jim Baker, and they did an incredible job of that too, and making Vincent D'Onofrio into Falwell. And God, it was... that one did deserve best makeup, because of all of that incredible aging and making people not look like they're just wearing, like, old person makeup or young person makeup.
Yeah, whatever. There you go. All right. Well, that's good. Let's see what else we got here. Live action short went to The Long Goodbye. Animated short went to The Windshield Wiper. I think you had two different picks there, didn't you?
I had two different picks. I thought I had one for... live action documentary short. Me and Randy went head to head in the last film.
Oh, right.
About that.
Who wins that?
I said Audible should have won the documentary short subject. I still stand behind it, although Queen of Basketball is excellent and also deserved to win. So Randy did win that one.
Oh, that's the one he picked then?
One he picked. Right. He picked Robin to win the animated short, and I said one of these that has animated boobs and ween should win, and one of the ones with animated boobs and ween won. But it wasn't... I was thinking Affairs of the Heart would be the one with animated boobs and ween would win, but...
the boobs and ween winner of the year. Yeah.
But both of those, like... the, you know, go seek those out, people. Those are on YouTube and Netflix and Vimeo and stuff like that. But Affairs of the Art and The Windshield Wiper are both really, really good.
Yeah, I got to see both of those. I want to see all of them.
So, like, George Plimpton, you're a fan of George Plimpton's...
Love his work, yes.
Yeah. That's that second one is going to make you, like, Affairs of the Art is going to make you think about George Plimpton and his style. But that other one, I put links to both of those in our... film sec thing. Windshield Wiper, there are parts of it I can't tell how they animate it, because it looks like it's part 3D, but then that part kind of looks like it's 2D and stuff like that.
That sounds awesome. Sounds like my jam. Encanto won the best animated feature. You got visual effects for Dune again. Best supporting actor, is it Tony Kutsur? Kotsur? Is that how you say it?
Kutsur, yeah. Yeah, the first male deaf actor to win.
Is he the first deaf? I thought it was the first deaf actor, period, no?
No, Marley Matlin, who was also in Coda, won for Children of a Lesser God.
Right. That is a really good point.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That whole moment was great. It's a little bummer. A little bummer that was overshadowed a little bit by the big slap, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Drive My Car won Best International Film. You ended up liking that, right?
I did like that. It's a long movie, and afterwards you feel like you've watched Uncle Vanya and Drive My Car because it's 3 hours, and you don't even get credits until 40 minutes in, opening credits.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Let's see. Best Original Song went to No Time to Die from No Time to Die.
Oh, it was good. Yeah. And Phineas and Billie Eilish performed it live on stage and brought down the house. It was a great, great performance.
Good for them. Go from making weird music in your bedroom to mega superstar.
I know, right? And you have to keep reminding yourself, like, she's what, 19 or 20 now or something. Yeah. She's, you know.
She's just a kid, really.
She's just got so much ahead of her.
Oh, yeah. She's got a whole life of this. So don't F it up. No pressure.
Exactly. Stay cool. Stay grounded, yep. Billie Eilish.
Jane Campion, given the award by the one, the only, Kevin Costner. Like to mention that.
His old doddering speech beforehand.
It was pretty doddering, but I love him and I don't care.
Yes, I know you do. And he was talking about Westerns and seeing his first adult movie. I love the fact that he said it that way. It's like, oh, wow. All right. Where are we going with this?
Yeah, Costner? I just wanted to hear him talk about the Mariner Waterworld a little. And he didn't do it. Anyway, went to Jane Campion for Power of the Dog, which everyone thought was going to sweep everything and didn't. Mm-hmm.
I thought it until the recent Coda resurgence with the Writers Guild Award and the Producers Guild Awards both going to Coda. I thought Power of the Dog was the lock, and then once Coda started getting those, it's like, all right, I'm switching my Coda.
So just to finish things, that we pretty much mentioned everything else, just to finish that up, there was another race here that nobody talks about very much, and we're going to hear all about it next time Apple has a keynote. Apple put money behind and produced a movie that got an Oscar before Netflix did, and Netflix
they are the first streaming service to get a Best Picture. Yep. Best Picture Award.
And they've been trying, Netflix has been trying for years for that. The Irishman, a million of them. They were just like trying to get him in there and they came close, lots of nominations. This one just won. This is one that they found at Sundance and picked up and then said, here you go. So Utah connection there. And bam, there's your movie. And I want to see it more now than ever. I just keep hearing wonderful things. I still haven't seen it, but I want to watch it.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
I think you're the one that first recommended it.
I
here
did
on the
first
show.
Recommendal on it, and then Randy did an emphemental to emphasize his recommendal of it.
Ooh,
last
I like emphemental. We got to write
emphemental.
That down. That's not bad.
Yeah, I just put links to Windshield Wiper and Affairs of the Art into chat for folks to go check out.
All right, very nice. Okay, real quick, I need to register one very fast complaint. Mixers, 12-year-old mixers should never die. Mixers should not die ever. They shouldn't break.
I saw that headline. It was like get-togethers with people talking and chatting with just 12-year-olds. Is that?
I wish it was that. I wish it was a kitchen mixer, a cake mixer. I wish it was anything but my sound mixer. But my sound mixer after 12 years.
I still thought it was your cake mixer, nope. Your like KitchenAid or something.
Nope. In fact, if you notice today, people watching live and Brian, I'm not wearing headphones. There's a reason. New mixer, which I overnighted, doesn't quite do route my audio the way I need it to self-monitor. Yeah. So I have some stuff coming today that should remedy that. But for today, I can't do it this way. So I'm having you over some speakers. It probably sounds fine, but.
Sounds totally fine. I wouldn't have noticed and did not notice you weren't wearing headphones. That actually... was kind of preferable.
I mean,
right?
it is, and I may, I don't know, who knows, I may stick with it, but I was just annoyed because this happened right before TWBD. Turns out some capacitors were leaking, and I think it's because I never turned it off, you know. It's just on all the time, so when that power's on all the time, you're basically stressing those the entire 12 years.
Shoot, my Mackie My Mackie is on all the time. Now you make me worry.
I know. In this new one I got a new Behringer, and it doesn't have a power switch. You have to unplug it. So now I'm worried. Yeah. I might put one of those Internet of Things outlets on it so I can just tell the A word to turn it off. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's been annoying. There's my complaint. All right. Let us call Brian.
Yes.
Anyway. Let's have some fun. Let's get... Oh, geez. What have I done? This is wrong. Hold on. I started the film sack call like a dumbass. Hold on. And you know why? Because I was in there and I saw your name and I'm like... Because I was looking at your post.
Yes.
You were saying... And then I went in there and your name's there and I'm like, oh, well, I'm in the right place. This is all fine.
Yeah. It's fine.
All right, Randy.
And Randy is sitting there in Hawaii going, why am I getting a call from FilmSec?
I'm on vacation.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning here in Hawaii.
Look who it is. It's our old pal Brian Dunaway joining us all the way from South Carolina for another Babel Royale. How's it going, Brian?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How are you guys?
Good, man.
We're good. How are you?
Doing fan-freaking-tastic.
Wow, that's good.
Took so long to get to you. I had to blab about...
It's every year after the awards, Oscars, is always later and later. I don't even know why you have me on the Monday after. Whatever.
Whatever. Hey, our lives wouldn't be good.
It just doesn't feel like a Monday if we don't talk to you, Brian.
I agree.
It doesn't.
I agree with that. It's good to have you here, though. I hope you're well. Big thanks to Dunaway, actually, last night or yesterday afternoon. I bugged him on Discord. I'm like, hey, you around? Yeah. Get on there and help me test this thing. So he and I spent an hour testing my damn mixer, and that was really nice of him. So thank you.
Of course. We always do it. We've been doing our troubleshooting for 15 years or more.
15
now,
or 16 so. Years. Yep. 2005, sure trying to work out Skype stuff. Remember that? I remember that.
Yeah. This won't be our last rodeo. I'm sure.
We live in that rodeo. All right. It's good to have you back. Of course, today, Brian's going to present another game for us. Hey, Brian, what are we doing and how are we playing?
Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm giving you two a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident you two feel with a category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. If you guess one and you get it right, you get a point. If you guess two and you get them both right, you get 3 points. And if you guess all three correctly, you get 5 points. So the player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestants. We need them. I've got them. I pulled them randomly from members of the Tadpool that aren't here to listen live. So Scott, you're going to be playing for Amos from Wasilla, Alaska.
I know Amos. That's cool.
He
can see Russia from his house. Brian, you're going to be playing for Lisa Z from Buffalo, New York.
The other coast. All right.
Coast. One coast to the other. All right, let's get to this.
She cannot see Russia from her house.
No.
She can't.
If she can, there's trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Lock her up.
All right, so let's get to first question. I'm going to give you your category and six possible answers. Let's start with this one. Stars who have hosted Saturday Night Live 10 times or more.
Oh.
So these are people who have hosted 10 times or more. And
I like this. Celebrity-style questions the day after the Oscars. Always good.
Well, you'd be surprised. I've actually hunted for some stuff related to this last weekend. So, all right. Your six choices are...
Chris Rock wishes you would keep his name out of your mouth.
I think he's going to wish everybody would keep his name out of their mouths, but that ain't going to happen today.
So these are 10 or more, you say? 10 or more.
People who have hosted 10 or more times. Your choices are Buck Henry, Alec Baldwin, Chevy Chase, Christopher Walken, John Goodman, and Justin Timberlake. Three of them have hosted 10 times or more. Three of them have not.
Oh, my Lord.
I feel pretty confident about, I don't know.
I'm locked in, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm doing that one. I'm doing those two. There's the third one that's tricky to me, but go ahead.
You guys have locked in. Let's see. You guys both went with Alec Baldwin. I'll tell you, that's correct. He actually holds the record. He's hosted 17 times.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
Scott, you also chose Buck Henry and John Goodman. Mm-hmm. Brian, you chose Christopher Walken. Scott wins the first round. Those are the three. A nice good little job. Sweep there.
Yeah.
Buck Henry has hosted 10 times. John what? Goodman hosted 13 times. Christopher Walken only 7.
Timberlake's been on a bunch of times, but he doesn't host usually. That was what I was trying to.
Right. He's hosted 5 times. He's a member of the Five Timers Club, but he hasn't, unless he's hosted one more time since this card was written.
Do you think they even want Chevy Chase back? They probably are annoyed with him, like everyone is, right?
I think so. Yeah. He's got to be difficult. He's got to be like, I started this show. There's got to be some major diva.
Oh, yeah. He's already known for that, but like, what was I watching the other... somebody the other day sent me a YouTube video of his promo for his upcoming talk show. Remember that talk show that lasted like a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a promo floating out there of him, you know, trying to get people hyped for it, and it was the weirdest, like, take me back in time moment of... It was odd because I'd completely forgotten about it
or something.
Yeah. And it lasted a week or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember who's lasted less time, Magic Johnson's talk show or Chevy Chase's talk show.
Really?
Anybody shocked that they've made a poor decision bringing Chevy Chase on board on a project? That's on them.
Yeah. That is on them.
He's been Chevy Chase for a very long time.
Yeah. You don't have to do too much research to find out it's going to be a problem. Yeah.
All right,
let's get to category number 2. I just flew. I just came back on a trip, flying through from Dallas to here. Name 6 of these are let's try this again. Airports named for someone who died in a plane crash. So of these 6 answers, 3 of these are named for people who died in a plane crash.
I wonder if they're all before or after it happened.
I don't know. Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Like they were named before the plane crash. Oh, that's interesting.
Was that part of the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's. I would need to know. That's important to know. Did it name them after this because of their death in a plane crash, or was it just and so happened?
It's like, I don't know that. Just
I don't know the answer to that. So your choices are O'Hare International in Chicago, Pearson International in Toronto, Newt Rockne in South Bend, Saint-Exupéry in Lyon in France, Aquino International in Manila, and Will Rogers Airport in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
I don't freaking know.
Did his horse also die? Crash.
Right, yes.
There should be a Big Bopper.
He never met an airport he didn't like.
Yeah.
We need Big Bopper International. That's what we need.
All right, Brian is locked in. Scott really, is still deciding.
I'm just gonna lock in. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I did one.
This is interesting. Neither of you have chosen the same one. O'Hare. Brian Dunaway chose O'Hare in Chicago. That is named after somebody who died in a plane crash.
Uh-oh.
However, all of your other choices, Pearson International and New York, neither of those are. Saint-Exupéry in Lyon is named after a person who died in a plane crash. And Will Rogers.
I did not know he died in a plane crash. Interesting.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I almost chose Will Rogers, and then I chose Newt Rockne, and I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't choose the right one.
Well, it doesn't matter. I failed.
Yeah.
Newt Rockne, boxer, but I don't know how he actually died. Wasn't he a boxer?
What was Newt Rockne? I don't know.
He was a character on the Flintstones, wasn't he? Is that
Yeah. Anybody who had the name Rockne? Oh, football, they say in the chat.
Okay. Football player? Okay, thank you. Yes.
Well, you shouldn't play football on a plane. That's on him. Yeah. Oh, he didn't die. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Oh, he didn't die. He's still, no, he's not still alive. He just died some other way.
He has to have, yeah.
All right.
All right. football player. Yeah. I got corrected by five or 6 people there for that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just had an awards show. So how about this one? Awards that are no longer given out. So these are awards.
Okay.
3 of these are not given out anymore. The Edgars, given out for mystery writing. The Genies, for Canadian movies. The Cleos, given out for advertising. The Obies, for off-Broadway theater. The Patsies, for animal performers. And the Vibe Awards, given out for R&B and rap.
Oh, my Lord.
I know, we have both Genie and Cleo in here.
Weird. Weird.
What a great, yeah.
So, there are 3, though?
like
there are 33 of these are no longer given out.
Okay.
So this is just like the other 20 times we've played this. There's just the three.
Just the three. Is it just the three?
Did you change it up for this question by chance?
Are there just three?
All right. I'm locked.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Both of you said the patsies, which are given away to animal performers. That's absolutely correct.
Really?
Brian, you also chose the genies. That one is correct as well. And Scott, you chose the vibe awards, which is also correct.
Oh,
which means Scott gets 3 points for having two of them right. The Obies, however, the Obies are still given away for off-Broadway theater. Due to be handed out, I think, in April, the Obies.
Okay.
The Clios I'd heard of. I wasn't sure they were still around, but it feels like those were a recent thing I'd heard of. So
they are still, yeah. And I think award season for those is also right now as well. Like the I did some research just to make sure that, again, the question hadn't changed. And the nomination period for the Clios is still going, so...
Okay.
Who gives awards to animals?
Right? Yes.
I mean, there's so much blowback on that. I'd be like, let's just pretend like we're not using animals in any entertainment.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Such a great job of performing this year that Trigger gets an award for best forest.
I'm pretty sure
that if you win the award, there's going to be some complaining that we worked it too hard.
I'm pretty sure you're right, though. I'm pretty sure that's what was the demise of them, is that just, you know, we're parading these animals and making them do things that aren't exactly good for the animals, maybe. So why celebrate that? I don't know. I could be wrong. But
yeah. I'm curious if the Vibe Awards had a little battery compartment and a switch that you could turn on.
No, Brian,
like
the new
ones. This award?
It's all it's all app operated now.
So just, right, good.
You just push a little app button.
Perfect. Well, congratulations, Scott. You're our winner, and that means that Amos from Wasilla is getting our prizes. He's going to be getting a copy of Paradise Lost and Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize there was a Cobra Kai video game, and if it's not like Karate Champ, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's even the point?
But Lisa Z from Buffalo, New York, you're going to be getting a copy of Gemcraft, Frostborn Wrath.
I do not know what Gemcraft is, but I'm sure it's good. Those other two, Paradise Lost especially, is a very good game. I just want Amos to remember this because he also works with Tom on DTNS, and when I'm there Wednesday, maybe he can, you know, he can, I don't know, he doesn't give me anything, he's fine. He doesn't have to do anything. You're totally fine. But he takes amazing photographs, by the way, chat room, if you've never seen Amos' photos. Yeah, he goes out with his drone and does like these insane Alaskan stuff. Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that. I've seen his work.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very, very good. Quite the photographer guy. Podcaster too. And he's also, they were in charge of the charity thing you and I did last year for, what's the name of the show? I give him a pimp if I could remember the damn show. It's called the Don't Take Any Guff Pot. Nope, it's the shit. I don't know what it is. I forgot the name. It's good, though. He's a good guy. Sorry, Amos.
It's
I'll do it tomorrow.
So good. You don't want to miss it.
He's not in the chat, so I can't clear this up. Anyway, so there you have it. Congratulations to our winners. You're both winners in my book.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And especially to Brian Dunaway, who tomorrow will be forced to sit down with me and talk about DuckTales. Why?
Woo!
Because that's the video game, and moreover, the history of, of Capcom and their work with Disney. Yeah, because it's an interesting path that all took.
It is.
And a lot of people see that as like the moment of, they're going to have a long, fruitful relationship until they don't, which also has an interesting twist to it. So anyway, we're going to cover that. There are a lot of people who really, really like the NES DuckTales game. Does it hold up?
And then there's people like me.
And then there's people like you.
I kid. I love it.
Yeah. So that's tomorrow on another episode of Play Retro. Get that wherever you get your podcasts. Brian Dunaway, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about or say?
I'll be playing DuckTales tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time on the Twitch channel. I'm Brian Dunaway.
I just went to get a drink and spilled halfway down my front, so I'm just...
What is your problem today with spilling drinks?
I don't know.
Sure you almost spilled a tea?
Almost spilled this tea on my keyboard, which would have been a total nightmare delay of show problem. I would have to go get another keyboard. So that didn't happen. But then this one, I actually aimed the bottle at my face and went to the side. and it poured down my front. It's good stuff. Aww. Bye, Brian.
Aww.
All right, he's out of here. Wow. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our good pal Steven Schleicher will swing on by. I'm going to have a little chat with him. And he may have an opinion on the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing. I don't know. He's not much of an award show guy, but...
I know he'll have an opinion on the modding the Marvel pinball game.
Oh, he definitely will have that. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
And also, if you're like me, when you see Timothée Chalamet, all I see is the kid that once did Xbox 360 mods in 2008 on YouTube.
Did he really?
Because that's what he used to do. And I still... Wow. It's very hard for me to separate those two images. So I just see this like young... you know, early high school dork.
Yeah.
And yet he's, you know, he's young Atreides is going to save the world and Arrakis itself from the evil, the evil empires, you know?
Right. He's going to go F a peach. He's going to go call me by your name.
Yeah.
Or an apricot. Apricot.
Apricot. Yeah. We got
to
get
call me by your name tourists out there that are just about to type an email to
me. Save your ones and zeros for another time, everybody.
That's right.
All right, Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, all that, let's do a song. What do you got over there?
This one goes out to Dennis, who emailed me and emailed the artist to get permission. Super cool. This is a performer who goes by the name Autumn Sky Hall. She's a non-binary. She's also a non-berry. And queer folk artist from California. She began her writing, eventually touring at 15, and then a few years ago, 2005, released her EP called Diminutive Petite and All Witches and Singing, an album just right out of high school. Absolutely amazing. This is her favorite song that she's written today. To date. It's called My Anxious Brain and My Broken Heart. She and the band are currently practicing up for recording sessions around town to keep the creativity alive, working on the next musical chapter in her life. Here is Autumn Sky Hall with My Anxious Brain and My Broken Heart.
My anxious brain and my broken heart called to me beneath the covered dark. Each took its place to commiserate, and I would have bet you'd have been a war. But I've never been so happy to be wrong. Sent my anxious brain to my broken heart. Can't move forward when you're on your guard. How am I supposed to love? Even open up, and I can't work when I get in this state. Yeah, can't wait until I graduate.
Do that too. County Clerk John Areola's employees are supposed to sell license plates and handle other business for Metro government. But when News Channel 5 investigates made a surprise visit here behind the blue curtain inside the employee break room, this is what we found: Metro employees playing slot machines.
So is this real money?
No.
You need to eat the burger. Don't you want to eat the burger?
This is the Morning Stream, and we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Oh, sorry, my mic seat. This is the problem.
Is that mixer? That's mixer stuff right there.
Anyway, yes, it's my damn mixer again. It's because I usually, if I'm muted, I can tell that I'm muted, right? But now, stupid. I hate it. Anyway, hey, sorry about that. Hey, Brian, who is that again?
Yes, that is Autumn Sky Hall, who pronouns she, her, they, them, with the brand new song, My Anxious Brain and My Broken Heart. Check her out online.
Okay, now, real quick clarification. Speaking of Claire and clarification, Claire.
Hey, Claire.
When I said that if you dated Timothy Chalamet, that you would crush him, I meant nothing other than that he's made of kindling. You're fine. All the girlfriends are fine. It's him. It's he will break because it doesn't matter who you are. He's a little tiny,
take
spindly boy.
Take my Irish lass's name out of your mouth, Scott Johnson.
I love that the only way that we knew what any of what was said is because the Japanese and the Australians don't
right,
censor.
Right, exactly, because of other markets where they didn't.
Yeah, they don't censor over there. They don't care. Yeah. They're like, whatever, you Americans are going to say what you're going to say.
Bring it up. Yeah.
All right. What are we doing now? Oh, Steven, that's what's up. Now I'm all screwed up for this. Okay, here we go. I found it. All right, here we go. Major spoilers. He's on his way. He's sitting there waiting patiently.
Cool.
He has things to say.
Oh, they didn't censor it in Ireland either, Claire says.
Oh, no, Ireland didn't? Well, of course not. They shouldn't.
They're all excited about Belfast being nominated for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, Belfast. You guys got to be in for that. You got your Dairy Girls Season 3 trailers out now.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
So excited for that. By the way, I did not realize Belfast was semi-autobiographical. I always thought that Kenneth Branagh was from London, like, or from, you know, from...
I did before this. I absolutely did as well. I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. But he's that little kid growing up and semi-autobiographical. His dad going off to London to work, and
somebody said yesterday, it made me laugh. They said it must be some sort of slight that he got nominated for a screenplay that has nothing to do with Shakespeare after a career of doing nothing but Shakespeare,
and losing to King Richard.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
All right, sorry. Beating King Richard in that category, but yeah.
Sorry,
Kenneth Branagh.
You put
the you don't pronounce the GH. Kenneth Branagh, right?
Branagh. Well, let's ask this guy.
Steven Schleicher.
Hey, Steven Schleicher. Thanks for holding. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Oh,
nice
hello.
To have you here. How would you pronounce his name?
It's Branagh, right?
Branagh.
Okay.
What did I say? Did I say something different?
I thought you said it right.
Branagh or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Maybe I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Maybe. I thought you said it the right way, and then Claire was fixing us. So who knows?
Oh, did I put an R? Did I say an R? Kenneth Branagh?
Branagh.
No, I so did not. Really?
Branagh.
Maybe I was, you know, did a little New York thing there. Yeah. Branagh, you know.
Why not? Or even the British. They put a lot of R's on things that don't belong there. Well, anyway, speaking of a guy who puts R's where they don't belong, it's Steven Schleicher. Just kidding. You have an R in your name, and it's fine.
Oh, hi, Scott.
It belongs in there.
Steven Schleicher.
It's good to have you back. I think you're like me. You're not really an award show watcher.
I don't watch award shows anymore.
What'd you think about all that last night? It was pretty nutty.
I was about to go to bed, and then Twitter exploded. I was like, okay, let me see what was up.
No, you cracked me up, sir, because when the punch happened, The first tweet I saw was your gif of the guy going, "Time for go to bed" or whatever. And I thought this is the greatest use you've ever made of that gif. It was incredible.
No, I was literally getting ready to go to bed when that happened.
So. Yeah, that timing was impeccable, sir. But then you had a few things to say, and I agree with you. What, your whole take, like the joke is bad.
It was assault. Number one, it was assault.
Yeah.
Chris Rock could press charges if he desires. I don't think he will, and will nothing happen of this beyond a lot of people clucking their tongues and wagging their fingers. Now, the other thing that a lot of people have jumped on me about was a comedian should stop punching down, and some people are like, "Oh no, he was just roasting a celebrity. That's totally different." It's like, no, the thing is, it moves beyond humor when you're actually making fun of somebody who has an illness or a disability. It's like me coming on and making jokes about Brian's wife. That would be totally
It would be completely inappropriate. And so I totally agree with this standpoint, by the way. I still think there's some question about whether he knew it or not. And I'm not this isn't me trying to back him. I just don't know
situation.
If he knew. Yeah.
Because the other thing is there's a good chance Chris Rock didn't even write that joke. The Oscars have writers, and there are people backstage during the live show that are just like, here's a one-off that he can use. Feed it out to him and put it up on the teleprompter, and he's just reading what's off the teleprompter.
Yeah, true. These are the things.
Not necessarily be his fault.
Yeah, and this is the reason still, I bring all this up. It's always complicated in ways that we don't even know about. And so I think it's important to at least look at it from that perspective or to have as critical thinking as possible. I'm not saying Chris Rock should or shouldn't do whatever Chris Rock does, but who knows, you know? And because we don't know, it's easy to make, you know, jump to conclusions. It's also fun to watch it. Half the people think it's fake, half the people think it's real, and then have those two people try to get along.
At first, I thought that maybe it was that as well.
Yeah.
Until you watch who was sitting behind Will Smith, Lupita.
You just
looked at her face, and at first she's kind of smiling and laughing, and then he's like, you know, take my wife's name out of your effing mouth, and you just see her just like, oh no, this ain't a joke, and you just see her going, okay, exactly. this is dead serious.
Yeah, things went full Jerry Springer for a bit there, for a hot minute. Who was it? Lucille Ball. Nicole Kidman. Her reaction was totally like she was at a show. Like she was just like,
I think a lot of people at first were like it was totally a thing.
Yeah. So it's real. It's real dumb. That's all anyone's going to talk about. Even next year. Of course. This will all roll around again, and people are going to be like, "Oh, wonder what'll happen this year," and we're all going to be sick of it. But hey, this is what you get when you live in a world of people who get pissed at each other. So forget about all that. Did any of your movies that you wanted to win, or did you have any?
I really wasn't even paying attention to any of them. I saw several
in the race.
No, I didn't. I really didn't. Yeah. I mean, what's the one that I just watched that was up? I can't even remember. It was one of the movies was up the other day, and I was like, "Oh, that's a really good one." I think Brian recommended it.
Dakota?
Yeah. No. I wish I would have watched that one. That one when it first debuted on Apple Plus, I was like, "I think I want to watch this," and then a bunch of other things.
You can still watch it. It's still there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is still there.
I
kind of wish that I had watched it before the Oscars, though.
Yeah. Well, we got time, Steven. You and I, we can commiserate and watch it.
I mean, I haven't seen Dune, so I mean, there you go. There's that.
Yeah, and Dune's awesome. And Dune, I love when a genre film wins a bunch of shit. That's what I care about the most in this world. So good job,
for sure.
Genre film. All right, so let's dive into a couple of weird things. I guess there's a Supernatural prequel coming, and by Supernatural, I mean the WB show with the two
CW
brothers.
Show.
Yeah. Or CW, Did I say WB? What year is it?
Is there a WB?
I mean, who knows after this merger is finally complete.
Yeah. What's my age again? Yeah,
I hear they're trying to sell that off or split it off or whatever.
Oh, they are? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You don't... is it not profitable to them or something? They don't want it?
I would have to go back and look at some numbers, but The Flash was one of their highest rated shows, one of their most popular shows, and their budget per episode was like $3 million, and I think they were making somewhere around $5 million per episode in ad sales.
Yeah.
So it was profitable. I'm sure it's not an issue about profitability. I'll have to go back and I'll send you guys some stuff that I saw about them spinning it off, especially in the with the announcement last week that they've already pre-approved like 6 shows for new seasons next year. And that was like, this seems highly surprising that CW did this, considering that they are potentially going to be sold off to some other group in the next 6 months. So.
And this whole thing is going to be like Negan and whoever he was married to. It's their story, right? The dad and the mom before.
So in the Supernatural, the show that ran 14 seasons, they're doing the prequel called The Winchesters with Meg Donnelly and Drake Roger. And this is how did they first meet up before, you know, they had kids and she died and the father went missing and all that stuff. So,
right. So we're going to have this will be set in a different time, I assume. Probably. Right?
It most definitely will, because the father, the Drake Roger, he has just come back from Vietnam in the story.
Oh, interesting. I liked Supernatural. What I saw, maybe 2-3 seasons of it. And it's a good time for a CW show. It's a good time. It's less about pretty people and more about kind of X-Files-y sort of week-to-week stuff, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a huge hit. It lasted forever, like a million seasons of that show. What was it?
14 seasons. Yeah, it went on forever.
It was a really long one.
Yeah.
So I have to admit, I have a little interest in this, a little bit. This much.
I have never seen a single episode of Supernatural. I'm waiting for us to do one, like a watch-along episode for for Film Sack.
Well, we're bound to find something in there, I'll bet.
I'm sure we are, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
I think I watched 3 or 4 episodes of the first season, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get the setup.
Just of what it is. Yeah, right.
It is a little rinse. It's a little rinse repeat for sure. They kind of do the same stuff over and over, but
yeah.
And I agree. That Jensen Ackles guy, good looking man, no question. He's on The Boys now, so let's see how that goes.
Oh, okay. And I know the other guy was from Lost. It was
he was on
Shannon's
Lost.
Brother.
No, different guy.
Different guy?
You're thinking of the guy from, not Pretty Little Liars, the vampire show that CW had. I know why you're mixing them up, because they look identical.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, the other one. He was on the Gilmore Girls for a long time. He was Dean.
Okay.
Shit. Someone in the chat remember his name.
I know.
You all know.
Shows I haven't watched for 400 hours.
I can't remember his name.
Boone. Boone is the actor. Let's see. Ian Somerhalder.
No, that is definitely not him on Supernatural. Jared Spekulecki. Wait.
Jared Pilecki. Not Pilecki.
Spakahuchi. Padalecki. That's Sam Winchester. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So it's him and Jensen Ackles were the brothers.
Yeah,
and,
Vampire Diaries is totally what I was thinking of, apparently. Okay, all right, well.
Yeah, they look the same, Brian.
I know, isn't it pretty people with supernatural stuff going on that they're
identical doing? Sexy boys is what those two guys are. Well, anyway, that's coming. We don't know much else, right? We just know that premise.
No, that's all we know is the premise.
Right. All right, now the one I'm really interested in, live action Voltron. Tell me more.
Oh, man, if you can't get enough of your giant robots, kaiju monster action, it looks like DreamWorks is going to be bringing the Voltron series to a live action series to a Netflix subscription near you.
Oh, there's one right here then, right by me. My TV plays the Netflix subscription. Yeah.
Well,
do we know anything about cast or anything?
All we know is that it just started pre-production in the writing stage, and so we'll see how far it moves. Oftentimes you can even get the entire series written or several scripts written before, and they can still say, no, we're not going to do this, and pass on it. But the animated Voltron series was very popular on Netflix, so it would not surprise me that they go ahead and give a green light to the live action.
First thing my daughter says in the chat is Murray better be in it. She's referring to Reese Dave. What's his name? Reese. Shit. The What We Do in the Shadows werewolf. Murray from
Reese Darby.
Darby.
Yeah.
Because he's in the animation. I doubt he's in this. But
oh, I can't wait to start watching that. I hear so many good things about it.
I will be interested in your take on that, Brian, because I see what they're doing, and it's interesting, but I got like 3 episodes in, and I was like, I think I'm checking out.
Really?
Wow, okay, interesting.
This and that's even before Taika Waititi shows up in it.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, so he's not even really in the first 3 episodes.
No.
Taika Waititi's Blackbeard or whatever.
Blackbeard. He plays Blackbeard, yeah.
Yeah. And he's producer on this, showrunner, right? Mm-hmm. That's the deal.
If you want to see a really good Taika Waititi produced show, it just won a bunch of Golden Globes, or at least one Golden Globe. It's the series about it's Reservation Dogs.
Oh, yes.
That show is excellent.
I still haven't seen it. I need to watch that one. That's on Hulu, right? I think it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll finally check that out.
It is excellent, yeah.
It's got that guy in it I love from Fargo season 2. I can't think of his name, though. He's also in that Dr. Sleep. He was Crow.
Oh, the guy with the mustache, right?
Indigenous person guy.
He played Hansi in Fargo. I can't think of his name. He's amazing, though. I love that guy. I can watch really him do good. Anything. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, big giant robots, lots of CG, I assume.
I would hope so.
Hopefully,
or that, or actually, what would be better is if they did it and it was just, you know, somebody in a cardboard suit fighting a rubber monster against a whole foam core city laid out before them. That would be awesome.
When I was a kid, I thought Voltron was the single coolest thing that could ever happen ever to anything. And now I see it for what it was, which is a little bit silly. But the recent Netflix animated stuff is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no reason why they can't do it justice. So let's see. Let's see how you guys do. Steve, anything else going on in major spoilers we could tell the people about? They can follow.
Let's see. There was something I was going to mention. Last week on Finally Friday, which you can catch over on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/majorspoilers. We did a whole Tolkien reading day where we sat down and Ashley read a quick little short paragraph from the Silmarillion. And we talked about how that will play out in the upcoming Rings of Power series over on Amazon. And it filled up the whole half hour and people were really into it because Ashley has a really deep knowledge of all things hobbitses. And people should go check that out. It was a lot of fun.
I guess I never knew the answer to this, but this Rings of Power show, is it primarily based on things from that tome?
No, because apparently Warner Brothers is still arguing that they have all the rights to it. So it's like footnotes and other notes that were not in that book is what supposedly the Rings of Power is based on. So
interesting. Okay. I'm actually kind of more excited about that because I don't really want a retread of anything. I wouldn't mind.
Well, it takes place during the Second Age, so the only thing that you're going to see is the rings have already been forged, supposedly, at this time. Yeah. And so you'll see how Sauron is corrupting the Kings of Man, how people are rising up to fight him. It should be very much Game of Thronesy in that aspect.
I'm pretty excited, because the rings that went to the elves, fine, whatever. The rings that go to the Dwarf Kings, it's fine. The ones that went to the humans, those guys are effed.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's the stuff that I want to see. I want to see these kings of men get corrupted by the ring and how Sauron is manipulating them behind the scenes and everything. I just think that's going to be
excited. I'm actually really, they've thrown so much money at this production. It's either going to be a glorious thing or a terrible nightmare.
It's been renewed for a season two even before the first one airs. So
that's usually a good sign. Because if the money people are confident, the money people are rarely confident. So that's good. Well, all right, then. This has been, as always, enlightening, fun, and good to be hanging out with you. And people, make sure you go to majorspoilers.com. Follow him on Twitter, @majorspoilers. You'll know when he goes to bed because he puts up this GIF every day. It's fantastic.
for go to bed.
Yeah, it's as good as your stay hydrated thing. Oh, I already stole it from you. Say it real quick.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Scott. Stay hydrated.
Oh, okay, everyone. Bye. I blew his famous line before it was time. Okay, what are we doing now? You know what I got here? I got me a mashup here.
Cool.
Technically, it's a bonus mashup, which means it's kind of pulled from lots of different times. It's a SBSA, which
says TMS sing along, but I thought, yeah, okay. What does the SBSA stand for then?
I mean, look,
sing. Quick. Okay, S. Scott Bryan sing along.
Oh, okay. Right?
I was like, yeah, it makes sense now that I see it. It's like, what is the SB? But yeah,
that has to be us. It's us. Yeah. It must be. All right. Well, here it is. We're going to play it now. Thanks, Jamie, for this. Enjoy. Every day it was like clap, clap, clap. And if it, how's it go?
And a deal with the cups in this thing.
That's how it went.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. Wow.
Left ear good.
Left ear is
bad. Right ear bad. I hope you don't touch my boner twister.
Whoa.
Hey, Jude.
I'm leaving.
I love Sean Moore. Gonna treat him like he's related. Taco Bell told me that there was a shortage.
I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah.
My wiener's free.
I gladly thank the man who died who gave that right to me.
I'll gladly
stand up.
No, sit down. We can see your penis.
Defend her still today.
I love this land and there's something else.
Yeah, you'll love this.
My name is Bill and I'm here to say that I like to use karate in a normal way. I don't use it to fight. I don't use it to beat, but when it protects my body when I'm walking down the street.
Yep, hip it, hip it, hip it.
Hello,
it's me.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
That's not how that song goes.
No, I got all three hellos going. Roni Boni's dance became popular after footage of the choreography done. Zubba Zubba. Let's see.
This article. Roni Boni. I love this. Roni Boni.
This article makes it.
Here he comes now. Say Roni Boni. Here's to good times. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must say something more somehow.
Wow.
Panic on the streets of Liverpool. Catch the monkey, catch the monkey, catch the monkey.
Yeah.
Someone left the scorpion out in the rain. And it's on the shirt I purchased. And that shirt's not coming in my house.
Wow. We got a whole song.
And I'll never buy from that internet company again.
See, there's more.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Addicts are using the diarrhea drug Imodium to get high.
Really?
Yep.
I went to go fix my diarrhea, and then I got high.
Is that how the song goes?
I was going to get the squirts, but then I got high. Ooh, I was going to mess up my shirt, and then I got high. Don't stop breastfeeding your tabby. Don't stop. We'll be landing soon.
Oh, man.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know why that song is perfect, but it is.
Another fine selection from everyone's favorite mashup master, Jamie.
Boy, good thing I don't ever take a musical joke too far, folks.
Yeah, never, never.
Never,
look,
never.
If you want to get a good song, well, whatever, man. Your life is so musically inclined. You just can't help it. I understand it.
I hear lyrics for everything, man.
Yeah, that's normal, I think, for you. There you go. Thanks, Jamie, once again. Follow him on Twitter, TMS Mashups. He's a good guy. Puts up a lot of cool stuff every day. And it's always nice to talk to that guy. I think that's it for the show, I think. Yeah, we're done.
You think? All right, okay.
Yeah, we're done. A reminder, it's a good time to be reminded because the month's about to end this week. It's very, very last vestiges of March are upon us. And that means a couple of things. One, go to our patreon.com/TMS. That's patreon.com/TMS. And belly up to the bar now if you haven't before. Huge thanks to everyone who has. And then your other reminder is the Vegas thing is coming. So you got to get out there and get your tickets and get your swag and be ready if you're coming. And if you're not and you still want swag, that'd be great too, because every little bit will help us make sure we're good on all our venue stuff. So head on over there to vivatmsvegas.com. And check out all the information, including links to those tickets, said tickets. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Get in there. Got to find out. I got to follow up today and figure out how many we've got so far so we can start getting all that
okay,
done.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll check and see how many rooms, hotel rooms, because I know we need to give some estimates to venues for the concert, live TMS, that I'm still, listen, my stress level of waiting for information to come from Sin City is like at an all-time high. Like, we're a month out.
Yeah,
can you guys
slow.
Give me some information? Can you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
slow.
Not James and Svet's fault. It's these venues that are like, oh, yeah, well, I guess we could maybe take a look and see what the calendar looks like. And
yeah. But James is easy. If I came to, in fact, let's just role play this for a second.
Yeah.
I come to James and I say, James, will you perform for us on one of those nights? And then James would say,
Oh, yeah, you know, it's all good. I could probably do that. Whatever. It's totally fine, you know.
any excuse I can get to hear that.
I love doing that voice because so few people, and sadly, so few people.
Right. So there's another reason y'all need to come and meet us there and then see James perform. And then you'll be like, that impression is dead on. You'll hear it finally for yourselves.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. I almost dropped my phone. I'm spilling drinks, dropping my phone.
Oh.
I'm all thumbs today. All right. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else you might be looking for. Contact us there. Twitter stuff there. All of it's there. Go check it out. You can request songs there. All of it. Okay? So quit sitting on your thumb. More thumbs. And go do it. All right. Let's get to the song. We're going to play a song. Do you have a song?
Yeah. Yeah. This one's going out to James W., who says, Dear Scott and Brian, this is a request for my 48th birthday, something that wasn't exactly certain late last year. Early December, I woke up with what I thought was heartburn. Turns out I was actually having a heart attack. Oh my God. Ew. After spending a week in the hospital, I left with a few stents in some now unblocked arteries, and instructions on diet changes and more exercise. While I was in hospital and during my recovery, you guys continued to provide a distraction and certainly to me in an uncertain time, something you've done for the past 7 or so years. I'd like to thank my wife and family, the staff at Queen Alexandra Hospital in Portsmouth, and all the Tadpool Frog Pants family for helping me get through this.
Man.
I will hand it over to Brian to choose a heart cover. Ha! Cheers, James.
Nice. I see he's got a sense of humor about it. I respect
there?
That.
See what he did there? Well, yeah. Good. James, we are so glad you're still with us, and we will continue to make you laugh for years to come, so keep taking care of yourself, and we'll do the rest.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how that works. Yeah. All right, so Ann Wilson, no stranger to doing amazing covers. Since she went solo, she's been putting out some really cool EPs and singles and albums with a lot of really good covers on them. And her brand new album, which is called Fierce Bliss, which I think comes out in April, already has a couple pre-release tracks on it, which I have permission to play. Ooh. One of them is this amazing cover that came out of left field that I didn't even know existed until it came out, of the Eurythmics' Missionary Man. Here is Ann Wilson.
I was born an original sinner. I was born from original sin. If I had a dollar bill for all the things I'd done, there'd be a mountain of money piled up to my chin. Told me strong. She said, be true to yourself and you can't go wrong. But there's just one thing that you gotta understand. You can fool with your brother, but don't mess with the missionary man. 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 Ooh. We're the missionary. From behind, but God looks from those Bible books. He's a man with a mission, got a serious mind. There was a woman in the jungle, a monkey on a tree. The missionary man, he was following me. He said, "Dad, what you doing? Get down on your knees. Got a message for you that you better believe, believe, believe,
don't you mess with the This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.